care to have your mind opened. The lies of the mainstream media are about to be exposed, and the hypocrisy of the left is about to be revealed. You've tuned into Black and Right. This is a revolution in how you think about politics, race, and culture. And leading that revolution are your hosts, Charles Love and John Anthony.
Welcome back. Hour 2, Black and Right, AM 560, The Answer. Facebook Live at Black and Right and AM 560, The Answer. As you know, if you stayed around the first hour that I'm flying solo, my partner John is not in today, and he's probably having fun doing whatever he's doing. But now is the time that he's going to be like, man, now I wish I was at work today because his buddy is on. I'm pleased to be joined by Brian Mullins from the Black Community Collaborative and Eidos Chicago to talk about his interesting time on Chicago Tonight this past week and their big event in, was it Kentucky? Brian, thanks for joining us. Thanks for coming on Black and Right.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, it's good to have you again.
How you doing, Charles? Thanks for having me.
I saw you on Chicago Tonight talking about this teacher strike.
Yep.
And I know that 10 minutes I've been on, and when you're on a four-person panel, you get what feels like seconds to talk.
So exactly.
Give me your take on the teacher strike. I know you're against it, but why you're against it,
sure.
What you think the problems are, and we can go from there.
Sure. Well, I definitely am against the teacher strike. I think that there are two problems, Chicago's teachers union and Chicago public schools. We have watched for years the Democratic Party raid the financial coffers of Chicago public schools by taking pension holidays, by getting bloated government, CPS, and the quality of education and our children's education has not been furthered. So as a Black parent, you know, we sit back and we look at it from multiple angles. Chicago Teachers Union itself has even, it's 80% white and Hispanic, Charles. And from a labor standpoint, you know, we need sustainable jobs in our communities, right? We just don't need people coming into our neighborhoods and controlling the narratives and pushing things. So I think we have a problem on both sides, the public school system and the actual labor union that is pushing all these narratives in our community. So, you know, I think the focus is not on the children. The focus is teachers, gentrification, and everything else
I'm confused, Brian. You started to sound like you were making sense, but then you said the focus is not on the kids. But the teachers told me that the focus was on the kids. What do you mean? I mean, now, granted,
well,
now we won't actually get any of the things that we need. But hey, they said
sure.
So that's all that really matters, right? Based on what history says in Chicago, that as long as you say what people want to hear, reality has nothing
correct.
To do with it. I say, I mean, you made some good points. One of the things that I say,
sure.
And we've
sure.
talked before,
sure.
obviously,
uh-huh.
is that. You know, I look at it as another two things, but let's start with the thing you said, which makes sense. You said it's the teachers and the union, the two separate pieces. My thing is that
right.
I don't hear many people saying this, but I look at it like, okay. Think about any other business. You got McDonald's. So you got the workers and you got the
yeah.
people who own McDonald's. Now, they can sit at a
correct.
Table and they can argue about labor, operations, and conditions, and I don't know which side wins, but it's fair. I'm the employee that's doing the job.
Right.
You're the employer. Let's
right.
discuss. That's not what we have
correct.
Here, right? What we have
correct.
Is
correct.
This vicious circle of teachers
right.
and employees of the school who work for the,
sure.
the CTU, right? But the CTU,
sure.
like the teachers, like Janice Jackson, works for the mayor,
correct.
Who's an elected official,
correct.
Right? We
correct.
We vote for these people, and then our tax dollars
correct.
Pay for it.
Correct.
But so in this
well,
sense,
Charles,
we're the employer and we're not at the table.
Exactly. And that's one of the craziest things when you deal about labor and you deal with politics. We, the taxpayers, pay CPS who pay the teachers, who then fund the union, and they're all sitting back fighting each other while the quality of education continues to fail our communities, right?
And that's the other thing you get credit for.
You know, it leads to poverty, that leads to crime, that leads to all these social issues that they also want to solve. And we're saying, hey, some of the ways that sort of Black Community Collaborative came together as a group of parents to sit back and say, hey, we want true solutions in our community. We don't want handouts. We don't want social services. We want sustainable wages. So you have an 80%, you know, 20% of the union is Black, right? And we're saying, hey, we need some of those teacher spots back. Just so you know, Charles, if you don't, your listeners, Chicago Teachers Union has sat back and allowed CPS to purge about 10,000 Black teachers in the last 10 years. That was the Black middle class. Right. That also caused the increase in property taxes due to pensions are causing foreclosures in our community. It's causing tax sales. So we're really under assault. And so we believe the way we get it back is we need to take part in labor at the end of the day. Right. We want to earn sustainable wages to fix our communities. But you're not going to hear this narrative. The core caucus of Chicago Teachers Union is a socialist organization. Right. So anyone can look it up. The caucus is the rank and file educators is core. Right. Chicago rank and file educators. They are a socialist group. Jesse Sharkey, the head of Chicago Teachers Union, is also the head of the International Socialist Organization. Right. Now, on top of that, Charles, make it even funnier or worse. His wife is the heir to the Royal Caribbean Cruise Line fortune, right? So we sit up here, we have a one percenter trying to sit back and explain to us on what we need to do. So you don't have this coming out, of course. The teachers, I believe, the teachers just voted in Jesse Sharkey as president after Karen Lewis. Teachers are just as uninformed to what's going on as voters are at the end of the day, in my opinion, after watching all this stuff, right? So we really are watching the labor unions. And if you look at it nationwide, labor unions nationwide are watching Chicago. These socialist organizations are sitting back saying, if we can use social justice as a wedge issue, then we can go ahead and run socialist-based candidates on these issues where the appearance is you're trying to solve some problems or work with certain communities, but we know that's not true.
Yeah, let's go here.
Yep.
I want to go with one of the points you made and another
sure.
point I have.
Yeah,
we all talk about sure. this and we know it's important, but it's really key yep. to say things and point out things that other people don't say so they can see this. So the point you said,
exactly.
you talked about mm-hmm. our failing schools. So I wonder why in this narrative, nobody's talking about how the dropout rate is so high, about how they're passing
exactly.
kids through they can't read. So in a sense, you're talking
exactly.
about benefiting people and paying people and giving people stuff that aren't doing a good
yep.
job and want to
exactly.
not tie their job performance, unlike any other job, to the raises.
Exactly.
But the second piece that I like to point out is they may be right. Because, you know, I talked earlier, I don't know if you heard it, I talked about giving the left their argument. So they may be right. The schools
sure.
may need
sure.
nurses, guidance counselors, librarians, and all these things. But I live
right.
in the real world. So what
yeah.
company can you work for? And you go to your job. So I'm on this radio station. I work for AM 560.
Yeah.
So I come in
right.
Wednesday. I was like, you know what? I just decided that starting next Saturday, I'm only going to talk about golf balls for 2 hours. And
right.
they're like, well, we
right.
don't want to have a
right.
show that's about golf balls. Well, if you don't do golf balls, I'm a strike. Right.
Exactly.
So I can
exactly.
say that, but they could be like, well, we're going to replace you with somebody else. You see what they're saying. They
exactly.
may be right about the librarians, but there's a reason why
sure.
their contracts say they can only strike about money and benefits. Because
correct.
Who are you
correct.
To dictate? We elected a mayor who
yep.
hires, until we have an elected school board and those administrative offices, who hires and runs
right.
an administration who manages the school. They dictate what
correct.
The operations is. They dictate
correct.
The class size, not the
correct.
Teachers. Now, you might
correct.
Be right that the class size should be 18.
Correct.
But if your boss
right.
says, I want it to be 60, then you don't get to strike because it's not 18.
Exactly.
So no one's talking about that. And do we
exactly.
have the money? We can't have an $838
exactly.
million deficit and say, I want more money.
Exactly.
You may be
exactly.
worth
well, we
$100,000, but if I only got 60, I can't give you 100.
Exactly.
You can stand on the street with a picket sign as long as you want. It's not going to make me print more money. So even if you're lucky and you get the mayor to give you the money, I live in the real world. I keep saying that. That money's coming
exactly.
from somewhere.
Exactly.
So you're
going to
lose the service
point,
here, or you're going to get taxes there.
Exactly. And those are all great points. And I piggyback on what you're saying. I think that's one of the critical things that people need to understand. The collective ask for what the teachers union are asking for is $2.5 billion, right? So we're already at a $900 million deficit. There is no way to generate that kind of revenue other than property taxes, right? And again, we know that property taxes
Lori Lightfoot said she got the solution. She's going to triple or quadruple the tax on people taking rideshare by themselves. Why not let all the single women ride around with creepy men to save a couple bucks?
If you go around and you look at these ideas that the mayor has put forth so far, it's funny, somebody did an analysis yesterday. It's only $100 million in revenue she's talking about. So the ride sharing and all those taxes are not enough money to come close to the problem that we have unless they go some massive, you know, some other routes.
And let's be real. Let's look at history. History dictates that every time they say a tax is going to create a revenue, 100% of the time it's less revenue.
Exactly.
So even though the $100 million is not enough, if they're saying it's $100 million, it's really going to be $65 million.
Sure, exactly, and they can't. We can't allow them to bring these financial tricks to the table. She comes in now and she talks about the marijuana revenue, right? Well, you know, it hasn't even started yet, so it's not even going to be available for the 2020 budget period. So right. We can't be fooled by any of that. We've watched Rahm Emanuel use tricks, you know, and financial tricks and fuzzy math for decades, which is what got us into these problems. I think I'm going to definitely want to touch on one other thing you mentioned. So in 2010, so there's been 200,000 African Americans leaving the city of Chicago, 70,000 Chicago public school students, right? They have utilization plans all over the city, right? We know that black schools are the most unutilized real estate, you know, as far as schools inside of the community.
So we're not overcrowded, is what you're saying.
We don't have overcrowding, right? Overcrowding is in different communities. We don't have the overcrowding problems. Overcrowding are coming from Hispanics due to influx of immigration and in white schools that are moving from the suburbs back into the city of Chicago, right? So we're going to sit back and act like these states. So the narrative from the teachers union, because this is what they do. If you notice, they have black teachers and black students all over the TV, all at their press conferences, at every meeting they're talking about, right? But what they're talking about isn't actually black, and that's part of the problem. They're using us and our kids as pawns in this whole conversation.
That's true.
But 70,000 CPS students are gone out of the system. We need true solutions. Like, let's talk about consolidation. You have schools that have 100 students in it, 200
built
schools
for
in 2000. These full school buildings.
Built for 2,000 people. Right?
Yeah,
don't forget
exactly.
The school
and
was
I would
built
rather
to
see,
house 2000.
Exactly. And I would rather see us take an honest approach to it and say, hey, maybe we do need to consolidate some of these schools and create these mega schools that are full with nurses and aides
right,
and
but have
full
the services, but have
operating
the services.
At the correct capacity. Now, my fear, though, is that, and this is the truth, this is another thing we have to keep in mind. I'm not sure that CPS and CTU are not working hand in hand, right? In 2012, when Chicago Teachers Union went on strike, what was the result? They closed 49 schools and purged 5,000 black middle-class teachers out of the system, right? And that made me think, like, man, so we also have to be cognizant and say, is this strike? What if Lori gives in? And then she's going to turn around and justify and say, well, you guys, I can't pay for it. Let's close another 50 schools in the black community. Let's fire another 5,000 black teachers to help pay for it. And what do we have left? That's not a win for us. So we got to talk about these things in realistic terms.
And that's one thing I know you already know, but you're saying so much, you probably haven't popped in your head. So I'm going to toss you a ball. I'm a conservative. I'm a conservative. I'm not supposed to be talking about black all the time, but I live in the real world.
Exactly.
So here's the other funny thing. Sure. So I drive around after the strike, and all these people on the side with their little signs and banging their horns. Hunker. So I'm just taking pictures. It's a funny game you can play. Go around when you see them on strike in front of a school on the side. Take pictures of them. Get back home. Create a collage. And it looks like and what you'll find is that it looks like a Trump rally in Kansas. Where the black people
at?
It's because what? Come on, I already know you know the answer. Tell me what percentage of the teacher union is black.
20%. So it used to be 46% 10 years ago. It's now 20%, which means we are the only ones being fired. White teachers and Hispanic teachers' rates are continuing to climb, right? So again, we understand that black look, the black community is being purged out of the city of Chicago, right? The real estate is available. So they let crime fester. They let education fail. And we are sitting back saying we just want to participate in what we call America, right? We need access to capital. We need sustainable wages, right? And we don't have it. So, again, we got to keep putting these narratives out here and fight for, you know, what we need and what we deserve in our communities as well.
Right. So in the last few minutes here we have, I want to talk about your other organization. Put your other cap on. You hear him talk a lot about what black the black community needs. And I know the race thing is a big deal, but it's important. I'm a big fan of what you do because you appreciate personal responsibility. You and your group talks about what we're going to do ourselves in the black community, not what other people want to sit around and do and talk about handouts. In fact, you just said earlier, we're not waiting for a handout. And you understand that socialism and communism is bad for us. So I'm on your team. So you are a representative of Chicago's ADOS. Tell people again about ADOS from the last time you were here and about the convention, the first convention you went to.
So ADOS stands for American Descendants of Slavery. It is a on a federal level, there has been some movement. H.R. 40 is the main bill talking about federal reparations, right? And, you know, it's a lot of twists coming from a government standpoint, some corporate responsibility. And we know that is a very heavy lift in America, right? But I do appreciate the conversation and narrative that it's bringing up. So we, you know, kind of like we just talked about on the teacher side, we bring it down to equity on our side. We know that there are X amount of dollars being spent in government right now, not in some set aside scenario, but we're talking about in labor and contracts, right? And so ADOS, we watch here in Chicago is a perfect example. Two of the three largest general contractors in Chicago are Nigerian, right? So they're not.
So they're black, right?
Black is what the color that people call everybody from the whole, you know, if it's an African immigrant, if it's from Haiti or from Jamaica, or you're black from Chicago, you're considered black, right? So what we're saying is when it comes down to the appropriation of resources, we at ADOS Americans are at the bottom of every statistical category, right? And so we have people coming from other countries that come into the middle, and they are the ones that are awarded with, say, construction contracts. So they get their money, they live in Orland Park, they go back to Orland, there's zero benefit to the ADOS community on the south and the west side of Chicago. So we're saying we need to separate in this conversation, right? We need a different category, which we're calling ADOS, right? ADOS is a category, you know. I've grown up in Chicago. My parents come from the South, right? When you talk to people, if you talk about immigrants from Nigeria or from Ghana, and you ask them, where are you from? I'm Ghanaian. Oh, I'm Nigerian. We don't have anything to say, right? And so ADOS, again, it's a question of lineage, and that's going to be worked out over time. How do you prove it and all that, you know what I mean? But at the end of the day, it's not going to be as difficult as it may sound. And there's going to be a lot of twists and turns to it. So, you know, we want equity at the end of the day. Reparations is a larger lift. I am for federal reparations, but I do understand what it's going to take to achieve that at some point in the country we call America. It's going to be a heavy lift for these elected officials who are for it. Give you a quick example. So we had a conference in Louisville, Kentucky. About 2,000 people came from around the country. It was a great experience. I think we definitely came together and they're working out how do we move forward, you know, bringing data and systems and things to the table to help people organize locally. That will, of course, you know, bring equity because, you know, at the end of the day, we do need a push, right? We need a boost in economics. But we really need, if you can go ahead and make, you know, 100,000 people making $80,000, $90,000 a year, our communities change on their own. It's not about handouts or anything. I mean, we know between, you know, we could have another conversation between corporate handouts or social handouts, you know what I mean, and all these other kind of things. We just want to play in this game in a fair and equitable way. And in Illinois, the Democratic Party has been the worst one. They control every city, every government. We just watched today. I'm posted on social media earlier. They're having a census effort, right? So J.B. Pritzker put $20 million on the street for the census effort, right? Now, keep in mind, you're not a census taker, right? That's a federal move. It's just to talk about the census and encourage people to get in. What if I told you out of all the organizations, 37 organizations and $20 million, not one of them are black, right? You got about $6 million going to the Refugee and Immigrant Association to push their numbers in the census and none of ours. But guess who voted for J.B. Pritzker? Black voters. 365,000 black voters voted for J.B. Pritzker. And this is the kind of conversation that we got to keep having. But I got to throw this out here. We don't have Republican candidates to vote for, Charles. So I think we could get some Republicans, the President Party, to get it together and give us some choices that we may be able to move our voters. You know what I mean? The biggest reason, in my opinion, why we only vote Democrat, because we have zero choices in the game.
That was
right?
My history. That
we can't, I can't vote for anybody in Cook County or Illinois that is a Republican because my district is blue. We don't have challengers. My state rep, my state senator, county board president, county commissioner, there are not even – Republicans don't even run candidates. Hey. So you can't turn around and say, oh, you black folks only vote Democratic. Well, hey, we need the party to come educate us, try to bring us out to the polls, explain to us why we should vote for a Republican candidate. But, you know, it's funny, Charles, I'm out here every day talking the same kind of stuff. I would bet my life that their black voters are ready to move away from that Democratic plantation if we had a choice.
Oh, that's what I write about all the time.
And the resources put into it.
Right, that's what I write about and speak about all the time. But the problem is the Republic. You're 100% right about the Republican Party not doing enough.
Sure.
But then they don't understand black people, and there's not enough around them.
Correct.
And the ones of us who are around them, they don't listen to. So what they'll say is,
Yeah,
we can run somebody, but they need to be a Democrat light, or the black people won't like them. They think you need to be the antithesis of Trump in order to run. Well, actually, what you need to be is Trump without being a jerk.
Correct.
But you need, to be bold. You can't be like, well, I'm just like JB, only I don't want all your money. I only want some of your money.
No.
In that case, I vote for JB.
Charles, we're watching Illinois. We're watching the federal government come in. I don't care if you're talking about the tollway to the Chicago Housing Authority to contractors and elected officials. They're all around the Speaker of the House, which is Democratic, right? So all this stuff is going on at the same time right here. We welcome this. We know that we can never get anywhere as long as this Democratic machine that has been, you know, messing up the black community for the last 40 years is still in place. So we welcome Donald Trump's feds to come in and continue to, I look at it as a help.
Wait,
I'm cheering them on.
Yeah, yeah.
Get all of them.
Let me put this out. I don't know how much time or how much space we got left, but I think it'll be interesting. I don't know. You don't listen to the station that often, but it's obviously a conservative station, really pro-Trump.
Sure.
And they do this annual summit. They're doing the Freedom Summit. So they got all the conservative heavy hitters, you know, Sean Hannity, Sebastian Gorka, and all those people coming out.
Sure.
So John and I, we're doing a breakout at this event, right? So we're going to talk about the black vote. I think you and many of these people out there that I know, I speak to some of them, I do events, and I know they're out there, should come and kind of see what happens on the conservative side. So I'm like the person in the middle trying to build a bridge between the two.
Exactly.
So they don't agree with you on everything. I don't agree with you on everything. But I say we agree. We talk enough. I agree with you about 85% of the time. I don't agree with most Republicans 85% of the time. So I'm supposed to argue with you over reparations? I say, but we agree on
Charles,
everything
I tell
else.
People all the time.
But we agree on everything else.
I talk to people
else.
All the time. Right. And we sit back and we see we've watched the Democratic Party help to destroy and create situations in these urban areas across the city. We don't look at Donald Trump himself as a problem after 2.5 years in office. He didn't create all these issues in our communities. And to be honest, I believe through helping us in the Democratic Party situation, he's going to by default help us anyway, right?
Well, he wants
and I think there are a lot of black people that are coming out. We're not scared to say it and look for something different. I mean, hey, we are in critical times, not only in this country, but definitely in our communities, definitely in the city of Chicago and the state of Illinois. And it's time for us to step up and put it all on the table. And I believe that a lot of black people will. Don't forget, we've been Republican before.
Right.
But now it's a different mindset. We need jobs and resources and access to capital to create businesses.
One of the things that's going to help him if Trump could quit shooting himself in the foot is this.
Yes, exactly.
It's that I know, it's a big if. But look, everybody said this was going to happen. What helps him, if he thinks about it, the sky was going to fall. So all you really got to do is two things. It's real simple. We're all overcomplicating it. Step back and say, listen to the people on the left that I talked about in the last hour. And I know you hate me. You say I'm dangerous.
Yeah.
But when I ran, you said the sky was going to fall. This is 2.5 years later. Did the sky fall?
Exactly.
Are you broke? Exactly. Are you making less money? Is the economy worse? Then shut up and get on board this train. And where I'm wrong, help me fix it. So what I want you to try to do, I have to check with the states and see how many tickets we got left. It's November 2nd. Okay. Try to bring a contingent of those groups. I don't want to keep dropping names. Sure. You know who I'm talking about. But bring them out to the summit so they can see and hear what we do and what true conservative is, because it's not necessarily Trump, but it's definitely not the Illinois GOP.
I'm open to that, Charles. I appreciate it.
Well, thanks for your time. See how much it is when you get 30 minutes by yourself instead of 15 with with four people?
Exactly, much better.
Well, that was Brian Mullins from the Chicago Collective on AM 560. The Answer, back in a moment.